This morning's lesson is simply titled, you know, when loved ones hurt us and the commandment to forgive. I was telling them, I think it was Mike or somebody, or maybe it was Roger, before the services, I said, I was sitting there last night, I was on the iPad, I said, man, I'm going to go to their website, just look and see, you know, if anybody else has preached, what the sermon's been. Well, lo and behold, my buddy Alan Beck, I saw, gave a lesson on forgiveness, probably all not that long ago, I don't know, even last week, whenever it was. So I had to listen to Alan's sermon to make sure I wasn't going to be the same sermon. Because that would have been the case, I'd have been in the file, I'd have been like, whoop, picked one out, let's do it. But I think my sermon is coming from a different angle than the way Alan's came from. And I say that because forgiveness is something that a lot of people may struggle with. They may not even understand the meaning of it, they may not even understand the seriousness of it, and how important it is as Christians, you know, to forgive one another. However, you know, we don't expect our loved ones to hurt us. Okay, usually we expect someone else. You don't expect your spouse, or your kids, or your parents, or your aunts, uncles, cousins, whoever, to do harm to you. But however, when that happens, we still have the exact same commandment to forgive. Because again, it may seem a little strange to say when our loved ones hurt us versus a statement when someone hurts us. You know, this is a true obituary here. At least that's what Zach told me. I got it from my brother when I did the sermon a few months ago at the Kettering Church. Just want to pay attention here to the last part of it. It said, well, we'll read the whole thing. You know, Josie, 94, of Tampa, passed away February 11, 2012, peacefully at home. She was a loving wife of 68 years to Vic, who preceded her in death. She is survived by her son, AJ, who loved her, loved and cared for her, daughter Ninfa, who betrayed her trust, and son Peter, who broke her heart. So old Ninfa and Peter had an issue with Mom, obviously. Or Mom had an issue with them, because Mom took it upon herself, or someone did, to mention it in her obituary that, hey, these two children of mine hurt me. They broke my trust. They betrayed me. That's what old Josie had to say in her obituary. But listen, with that thought in mind here, okay, now we know that loved ones can hurt their own family members. What do we need to do? Well, let me tell you this. The ways that we can be hurt are endless. They're endless. Someone may hurt you by their actions. Let's say a drunk driver hits your car and kills one of your kids. Now, we have to live with that man or that woman's irresponsibility. How about a spouse who is unfaithful to the other? Now, the other is left to rebuild a life, you know, a new life, I should say. A husband or a wife is verbally or physically abusive to the other spouse. How about a child who just deliberately disobeys and rebels against everything the parents say? How about a man who takes a young woman's purity and she's emotionally scarred for life? And that father, he vows revenge on that attacker. Just like the wife or the husband vows revenge on the unfaithful spouse. Or the family vows revenge on that drunk driver. My friends, that is our human response in these situations right here. That's our typical response. That's our human nature in us. We want to respond. We want to act. We want to get even. We want to make that person feel the exact same pain that we're feeling. We want to cause them to have issues in their life as well. But you know what? There's other things that go on as well. There could be bitter words that are flung by elderly parents whose children feel that they're neglecting them. Friends no longer speak because of gossip that was spread. Hasty words are exchanged between brothers and sisters in Christ. My friends, I can keep on going on this virtually unlimited list of ways that we can be hurt. But forgiveness is a subject that we all need to consider. Some of you here today may be harrowing bitterness and resentment towards someone. In fact, it's been going over so long, you may just think of it as just part of your everyday life now. You know what? I got ill feelings toward that person. That's just the way it is. That's just how I got to live my life from here on out with him. My friends, we need to hear what God says about this. I don't care if it's a loved one or a stranger. Forgiveness is extended to all. You see, some of the most important lessons that we learn is learned in the school of pain and suffering. And this is particularly true with forgiveness. We may have to go through the pain and the suffering of being hurt to understand the difficulty and the struggle it may be to grant someone forgiveness. Open your Bibles now to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18 is where our text will be taken from. Matthew chapter 18, and we'll get to there in just a second. But what I want to remind us here is in verse, well, we're going to read it now. Let's go ahead and just start reading at verse 18. Let's go ahead and read verse 18. Matthew 18 and verse 18. It says, "Surely I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." Then Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" And Jesus replies there in verse 27, "I did not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven." Okay? So here in verses 21 and 22 there, we see that Peter unloads that question there. How many times do I need to forgive? Well, what is Jesus' response there? 70 times 7. Okay, not to keep a running tally or nothing, y'all, but listen, I'm sure we can all think of 490 different ways that someone could hurt us or offend us. It's not like we get to 491 and all of a sudden, I'm done. I don't have to forgive anyone else, anything, anytime. Well, what Peter does here is he introduces to us the problem of forgiveness. You know, our mortal minds think, well, for crying out loud, I've forgiven that person 15, 20 times. Why do I have to keep forgiving them? Because Jesus said to. That's why. He said to forgive them up to 70 times 7. But our spiritual mind, by the guidance of the words that's going to judge us, screams something different when we think that we have forgiven someone enough. Listen, Peter's curious on this for some reason. Hence the question. Why did he ask that question for? Well, obviously it must have been on his mind. Maybe there's an issue going on. I don't know. But, you know, he may have thought that, you know what, I want to say seven. Because, you know, at one time, the Jewish rabbi said you ought to forgive someone three times. Then after that, you're done. You've done your part. Well, Peter doubles that number and adds one for good measure and says, "Lord, seven times?" And Jesus says, "No, 70 times seven." Listen, just as forgiveness seemed to be an issue then, forgiveness seems to be an issue now for a few reasons. First one was this. Forgiveness is not pretending. Forgiveness is pretending to some people. We smile on the outside, you know, but inwardly, I should say, there's hostility. Or how about someone who apologizes to us and we pretend, man, this ain't no big deal. You know, you really didn't hurt me, but underneath the side, you're really resentful. You know, you really resent that person. But although you're on the outside, you say, it's all good. Don't worry about it. Is that true forgiveness? You see, we pretend to have forgiven when we really haven't. And if that's the case, then we don't understand exactly what true forgiveness is. Forgiveness is not forgetting. You may hear people say, "Can't you just forgive and forget? Can't you just experience a little case of amnesia here, just forget whatever happened?" Let me tell you something. That sounds good, but to be honest, we don't have the capability to forget. God has the capability to forget, but we as humans do not have the capability to forget when someone has done us wrong. Listen, forgiveness is more than just a single event. Forgiveness, you can't forget it, as I said, but when that moment comes up, when that trigger comes up or that moment that reminds us of that, how we respond in that moment determines whether or not we have truly forgiven that person of that fault, whatever it is. If it is something that comes up and you remember it, you don't go to that person, "Man, do you remember what you did to me 15 years ago? Or you remember what you did to me 2 weeks ago? Blah, blah, blah." You know, and just start a whole circus, if you will, because of it. Friends, that's not true forgiveness. Forgiveness is trying to bury that thought when it comes to mind. Because you know what we do as Christians? We forgive. We forgive and we forgive some more is what we do as Christians. Or I should say what we should do. Now you may be saying, listen, Josh, if I forgive, that relinquishes my right to retaliate. You know, and it does. You guys remember a couple months ago, I don't know, 3 or 4 months ago, when that man threw that child over that banister of that mall? Where that happened at? Let me tell you something. Since Josh Lee is a God-fearing, gun-slinging, red-blooded American, I can guarantee you that that would have been one of my kids. In that moment, that man probably wouldn't be breathing. I would have unloaded on him. That would have been in the moment, right then and there. Because think about it. It's your kid. A man throws, what are we supposed to do? Friends, we'd retaliate. That's our human nature right there, to retaliate. And we're saying, well, God, Josh, if you say I forgive, that relinquishes my right. Folks, I understand that. I get it. And I know that's on the extreme side. But listen, forgiveness is giving up our right to retaliate and make every effort to restore the original relationship. Whether it's a marital relationship, whether it's a sibling relationship, a family relationship, a co-worker relationship, it doesn't matter. We must do what is necessary to mend. And we're going to talk about that here, Lord willing, in the next sermon. Mend that relationship. See, when I'm offered, or I should say when I'm offended, I should say, my sense of justice demands that the other person pay. We may demand that the other person pay, as far as that goes. But you know what forgiveness says? Forgiveness says this: I pay myself. I absorb the cost. I absorb the hurt. And I'll let the offender go free. You know why? Because that's exactly what Jesus did on the cross for us. He could have said, yeah, God, Father, that world's so wicked. Man, make them pay. You know, put them through this torturous event. Not me. I haven't done anything. But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus went to that cross for each and every one of us, so we could have that forgiveness of sins. You notice that the word forgive has the word give in it? Because you know what? Forgiveness is demanding. It really is. This requires selflessness. This goes against our feelings. You know, we have to give, if you will, away our pride. We must have to give away, if you will, our sense of justice. Give away what we think is best. That's hard, that's rare, but that's Christ-like. That's what we're striving to do. My friends, but most importantly, I think, forgiveness requires wisdom. It requires wisdom. You know, I think I've been pretty fortunate in my life where I cannot think of one single example where I have been so hurt, so devastated, that forgiveness has been a really big struggle for me to offer. Sure, have been minor offenses. Yeah, I forgive you, you know, and it's gone. You know, I let it roll, so to speak, at that point. But I know not everybody's in that circumstance. I know there are situations out there, in the Lord's church especially, where damage has been done, where it may look like irreversible damage has been done, where you think forgiveness is not even an option. My friends, I pray for people like that, because I don't know how Josh Lee would respond in that situation. Listen, I know what the Bible says. I can preach it. I'm just preaching truth right here. This ain't Josh Lee preaching. This is scripture preaching here. Okay? I know what it says. My friends, but when push comes to shove, my friends, I know that it's a struggle for a lot of people. Hence the lesson this morning. That's why I think it requires wisdom. And what I mean by that is this. Very few situations are alike. Very few are alike. It takes discernment to know how to respond. For example, sometimes the offender needs to be comforted quickly in order to try to reconcile or resolve the situation. However, in other cases, there may be a time period may need to go by to give the tempers time to flare down or to calm down. You'll give things time to settle down a little bit before you go back and address the situation, whatever it may be. And it takes wisdom to discern in those situations right there. But there is no solid formula at all that will cover every situation. But there is a solid basis, and that is our own wisdom, and that is from our Creator God, and that is from His Word. And that is an example of that wisdom. I think it's found there in our text in Matthew chapter 18. Now listen, we all know the story later on in Matthew chapter 18 about the master who forgave the servant that debt. Remember how much money he owed? Remember his wife and children? It was commanded to be, or actually him, his wife and children, I believe, was commanded to be sold to pay off the debt. And after the master had gave that command, what did that servant do? He hit his knees, didn't he? He fell on his face, so to speak, saying, "Be patient with me, master, please, and I will repay you all that I have. All that I owe you, I should say. I'll repay you." That master had compassion on that servant, didn't he? He had compassion. Forgave him of that enormous debt. Then that servant who was just forgiven goes out and finds another servant who owed him just a minor, just small amount of money, right? Goes out there and demands that money be paid right now. "Give it to me," he says. And another servant goes, "Listen, have mercy, be patient with me. Listen, I'll pay you when I can." That guy who just was forgiven that debt gets mad and says, "No, throw him in prison till he pays me all that is owed to me." Well, that guy didn't realize that would get back to the master, right, in the beginning. That master finds out, and he is extremely angry about there. He is livid, isn't he? He's like, "How could you do this?" So what's he do? He takes him, throws him, and gives him to the torturers, and throws him in prison until the debt is repaid. My friends, the point is this. We may beg for forgiveness from somebody. We may have offended somebody so bad, but we are begging them for forgiveness. We're pleading with them for forgiveness. And they may grant it to us. In the very next hour, someone calls you up and asks you for forgiveness because they offended you. And you say, "I don't think so. I'm not forgiving you. You know what you did to me? You know how much that hurt me? Uh-uh. I'm not forgiving you at all." What's our master going to say about that, my friend? What's our master, our creator, our heavenly father going to say about that? So, well, you know what he's going to say as far as that goes. But let me ask you this. How can we be more forgiving? How can we be more forgiving? Well, you know, listen, the answer is there in verse 35 to the question I just asked is this. "So my heavenly father will also do to each of you from his heart who does not forgive his brother his trespasses." In other words, God, my friends, will punish us if we don't offer that forgiveness like we've been granted the forgiveness. That's why we need to understand and ask ourselves, how can we be more forgiving? Well, number one is realizing the seriousness of the resentment. Understand that, my friends. This is how our Heavenly Father will treat you if you harbor resentment, as we just read there in verse 35. Resentment tortures you. My friends, as we talked in adult class a little bit, keeping those feelings harbored up inside. Remember, forgiveness is not an option. It is a requirement. That's why we need to overlook minor offenses. We need to confront the offense with kindness. You know that? With kindness. You ever thought about that? How many situations could have ended so many, or turned out, or I should say, how many situations could have turned out so much better had the person approached it with kindness? Instead of walking in, kicking the door open, and just start unloading on somebody. Without even knowing the whole story. Approach it with kindness. In our text, in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15, what's Jesus say? If a brother sins against you, okay? If a brother offends you, all right? Go and tell as many people as possible, he says, what has happened to you. Divide into camps so that they too will be hostile toward them. Is that what Jesus says there? No, not at all. What he really says is this. If your brother sins against you, lodge it in your mind and keep it there until he does something else. Then let him know about it. Was that the words of wisdom that Jesus told us? No. The words of wisdom that Jesus told us, it says if a brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. You don't get on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and blah, 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 and everything else, and send out group text messages to let everybody else know what just happened to you. I was talking to another preacher yesterday. I spent about 2 hours with him. And he was telling me of a situation where a situation arose between people of this one certain congregation, and it's nowhere around here. And one of the individuals involved has gone out and have drugged people in a total of 4 different congregations. It got so far out of hand that the leaders of all 4 of those congregations had to meet with those 2 individuals to sort out the mess that has been caused because of not handling the situation as Matthew 18 and verse 15 just described. They thought they knew a better way. They thought they had a better idea. They thought the more people I told, the more people I get in my camp, so to speak, I get on my side, and we'll go out and we'll just run that person out. Now look at the mess they're in. Had they just followed the wisdom that is in Scripture, my friends, they would not be in the mess that they are in. Think about it. Majority of the offenses could be worked out if we approached it early and if we approached it kindly. Friends, as I wrap up here, remember, God forgives you. That's what this parable is all about. And since God forgives you, or has forgiven you, of an impossible debt that you could never repay, and nor could I, how can we refuse to forgive someone of an earthly offense? You say, hey, he's lied to me. I'm angry. I ask you this, have you ever lied? You say, I'm hurt because they cheated me. Have you ever been deceptive? You say, I heard what you said behind my back. I ask you this, have you ever made a comment about someone you shouldn't have behind their back? Now, friends, if we expect God to forgive you of those sins, who are you to hold that against the individual for a lifetime? Forgiveness doesn't come easy. It takes effort, a lot of effort. And God's forgiveness didn't come easy either. It required the death of His Son on the cross. And do you know, and I know you know, what Jesus' final words were as he was hanging there? He used that word right there. Is it still up there? Yeah. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. These guys were driving the nails to his hands and feet, putting that crown of thorns on his head, giving that sour wine, that vinegar to drink, humiliating him publicly, and he says, Father, forgive them. If that was happening to us, I would say, Father, take him out. That's the human nature of it. That's why Jesus was Jesus and we're who we are today. That's why it takes work. Listen, this little pamphlet here was handed to me. I believe it's like a poem. It says, forgive me when I whine. It says, today upon a bus I saw a lovely maid with golden hair. I envied her. She seemed so gay. And oh, I wish I were so fair. When suddenly she arose to leave, I saw her hobble down the aisle. She had 1 foot and wore a crutch, but as she passed, she gave a smile. Oh God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 feet. The world is mine. And when I stopped to buy some sweets, the lad who served me had such charm. He seemed to radiate good cheer. His manner was so kind and warm. I said, it's nice to deal with you. Such courtesy I seldom find. He turned and said, oh, thank you, sir. And then I saw that he was blind. Oh, God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 eyes. The world is mine. And then when I walked down the street, I saw a child with eyes of blue. He stood and watched the others play. It seemed he knew not what to do. I stopped a moment. Then I said, why don't you join the others, dear? He looked ahead without a word, and then I knew he could not hear. Oh, God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 ears, the world is mine. With feet to take me where I'd go, with eyes to see the sunset's glow, with ears to hear what I should know, I'm blessed indeed, the world is mine. Oh, God, forgive me when I whine. I read that before when it was handed to me, and I read it this time as well, to let us know. Listen, there are things in life we may not even realize we need forgiveness for. We take things for granted. Our eyesight, our hearing, our ability to walk, our ability, to do things, to function as human beings. my friends, God blesses us with all of that. He gave us all of that. And when we take that for granted, my friends, we have to understand that God can take that from us as well, just as fast as He gave it to us. So, with that being said, my friends, I never want to close by offering the invitation to someone who may be in need of some type of spiritual need this morning. That blood of Jesus Christ is there for you right now. That forgiveness that He died on that cross for is yours to take advantage of. Why not do so right now this morning to stand and sing the song that Roger has selected?